And welcome to the other people that have joined us since we started. I say this is the third of our monthly shares from people who are going to have offered or are willing to share their experience, strength and hope, and include some of the history of the early days of UKNA. It is with absolute delight that I'm going to introduce you to Robert tonight, better known as Badger, and I'm sure he may even tell us why that is. I'm going to hand it over to you, my friend, and I look forward to hearing what you have to tell us. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, Robert Addict.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah. Nice to have the invitation. I've never done an online one like this, so this is a first.
Hello.
For me. Hi. Now, listen, I mean, the first thing I got to tell you is I love drugs, and I took drugs for an awful, awful long time. And I loved them, and I took them by the thing. Yeah, my drug of choice was a very simple one. It was more. Give me more. It didn't matter what it was. I would have drunk the Pacific dry of alcohol. I would have taken Greenway, all the heroin there was, you know, you name it, cocaine. I loved every one of them. In 1983, basically, I came out of a detox center. I'd previously been in that detox center to stop myself going to prison, and by the grace of God, that worked. And I came out of there, and I was contacted by a lady who was my first real girlfriend. Her name was Angie. And she was a nurse at a place called Charter Clinic. And basically, she informed me that I had a problem and I should go to these meetings. And, you know, basically, you know, I had holes in my shoes and gouge burns in my trousers. And, you know, my hands were the size of lamb's legs. Yeah, I mean, I was in a really good condition. I was a well-adjusted, good human being. You know what I mean? And anyway, I took her up on the suggestion. And with the woman, her name was Sarah, who became my wife and the mother of my three children, I went to my first NA meeting. And that was in 1983. And it was called Hampstead Heroes. And it was on a Wednesday night in Hampstead. And I went along to this meeting, and it was a bit like, I went along, and it was a bit like going to China or India or something like that. It was like walking into this really weird place. There must have been 50 people in this room, and they all looked to me extremely middle class, which meant that they had money. They were all extremely well-dressed, and they were all speaking this really weird language, which I couldn't understand. Anyway, at the end of the meeting, very simply, they told me to keep coming back. And I mean, I always remember that, I've been coming back, and I saw the secretary keep on coming back as well. So that's another story. Anyway, so I started going to Narcotics Anonymous in 1983, and the fellowship. I heard one of my compadres last night, and he said there were five meetings. I always used to think there were six meetings, but five or six meetings, and that was in the whole of the UK. And basically, I started going to these meetings, and you know, basically in those days, my first meeting that I ever got to clean was one called Early Risers. And that was on a Saturday morning, and it was in Chelsea. I used to get over 100 people there on a Saturday morning. It was an amazingly good meeting. Anyway, by the grace of God, I got to that meeting on this particular Saturday meeting. And basically, everyone was all the way around me, and you know, they're telling me that I can come back in 3 months' time and do my first share and all the rest of it. And I remember walking down the King's Road. It was on the King's Road, very famous road in London. I'm walking along the King's Road, and basically, it suddenly dawned on me. I was insane. I was totally insane without drugs. The only thing that kept me sane for all those years of my using was the drugs. And I went back and basically I was the drug man. Do you understand me? I was the drug man. I was the guy who was going to write the definitive book on addiction. I was going to have, I had all the answers. And this particular day, I used. And for the first time in my life, you know what I realized? I realized that I wasn't so clever. I was simply a slave. I was a slave to my addiction. And when I used that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon, I cried because my self-respect was finally broken. And from that point on, I reached what I call my emotional rock bottom. I continued going to Narcotics Anonymous. And in those days, you know, I used to rattle. I used to have so many drugs on me. I used to rattle. In all my years to go into the meetings, I've never seen anyone get up and go and stash their drugs. Never seen it. If you have, thank you. I haven't. And yeah, I used to go into the meetings and people used to get up and go and sit on the other side of the room. And I go up to our founder member who was called Crowbar Johnny, Johnny H. And I go, what's that about? What's that about? And he'd go, Robert, they don't want to catch what you've got. Just keep coming back. Anyway, by a simple miracle, and it was a miracle, I got offered a place in the first treatment center at that time in Europe. I call it Miracle Mansion. And basically, because I was an addict, the funny thing is, they wanted me to go in on my birthday. And I informed them, hold on, it's my birthday. I can't go in. And by the grace of God, they allowed me to go in the following Monday. And I went into that treatment center on the 28th of January, 1985. And, you know, it was a really hard experience. And basically, I had a few wonderful experiences and a few bad experiences there. And I came out into the fellowship, which was very small, pure white, and probably 50% Jewish. And that was the fellowship of London Narcotics Anonymous in 1985. And basically, I had no qualifications. I'd never worked. Basically, I was a drug addict. I sold drugs. That was my living. Yeah, but basically, and all that happened was people offered me jobs, and I do the job, get the sack, get another job, get the sack. And finally, a guy called Peter W. Asked me if I wanted a job, and I said, yeah, okay. And I ended up doing that particular profession, which was selling passenger cars, taxis, you call them, chauffeur cars, couriers, all those sort of things. I did it for 26 years, and I became very successful at it. Now, about the fellowship in those early days, as I've already said, it was pure white, very, very, very middle and upper class, because the only people who got into treatment in those days, you had to have a lot of money. Anyway, we were awarded the World Convention in 1986, held at Wembley Convention Centre. And basically, that was just an amazing event. Anyway, a few of us basically looked around and realized that everyone coming to NA, apart from the Americans who were there en masse, was white. And we thought, hold on, this is a bit of a problem. And by a set of coincidences, and I saw the guy who introduced us last night, he celebrated 31 years last night. And he basically was working for a very famous law firm. And basically, by a set of coincidences, a guy called Frank, it's an anonymous program, but he ran an organization called the Mangrove, which is basically was the founding member of what we now know as the Notting Hill Carnival. And basically, Frank had been set up. It had a whole host of drugs planted on by the things, and Desmond's law firm was defending them. Anyway, by a set of coincidences, we got an invitation during the World Convention of 1986 to come and speak with a guy called Frank. And he was the head don honcho from the Mangrove. And anyway, Bob B and about four or five other guys, we all met up at Ladbroke Grove tube station, and we walked up the road. And in those days, All Saints Road was a front line. It was probably one of the first front lines in England. There were 400 or 500 boys on the street. And when we arrived, they came up to us and they said, "You've come to see Frank." And we said, "Yeah." And they moved away like a wave. And we walked through and we went into the Mangrove. And that was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. I've never heard sharing like that, and I don't think I ever will. You know, Bob's telling how when there was 1 million in the whole planet, he sent his wife to check it out before he even went there. I found that quite incredible, but there we go. And some of the stories were just beyond belief. Anyway, the bottom line of our meeting was that they offered us a meeting there, and we started a meeting on All Saints Road on a Monday night. At that time, there were other very, very important meetings going on. I told you about Early Risers, which was in Chelsea. Millman Street, also in Chelsea, was the first NA meeting that started in 1980. Hampstead Heroes, my first meeting in 83. There was an amazing thing. Millman Street, where our first meeting came from, was in, I'm trying to think of the correct terminology. I called it a doss house. It was basically for homeless men. That's what it was for. It was for homeless men. And basically, it was quite an education to go there. But we had a second meeting, which was called the First and Last on a Sunday night, which was in Ladbroke Grove. And basically, the funny thing, that was also in Doss House. So we had two meetings out of six meetings in Doss Houses. So that's where Narcotics Anonymous England comes from. There was another one which was very famous as well, and that was the St. Mary's introduction meeting, which was on the Harrow Road. And then there was another one which was very famous in Chelsea, which was called the Red Cross meeting. And this was a really busy, busy meeting at lunchtime. And, you know, everyone used to go to that. And then they started up another one, which was called Rathbun Place, which was a very important place because it was in a probation office. So all the people on drug orders, those very, very old drug orders of those days, would go there, you know, to basically and be told to go to an NA meeting. And it was a great, great meeting. And it was just off of Oxford Street in London. And the final one I remember from those days was St. Mary Abbott's. And St. Mary Abbott's used to happen on a Friday night. And it used to be two meetings. There used to be a step meeting and an open meeting. I always went to the open meeting, but that was me. And basically, you know, from those very early days, NA has grown in England. You know, I was told three things when I came around. I'll tell you what they were. Don't die, don't use, and keep coming back. That's what they told me. And it was that simple. And basically, you know, the other suggestion I was given from a very early age in the fellowship was to get involved. And I've always, always, always been involved in Narcotics Anonymous since I've been here. I've consistently shown up and done my part. James and I started the detox meeting that I told you I went to in 1983. Basically, we started a meeting in there. It was called Ashdown Ward, and it was part of Bexley Hospital's. And basically, in those days, to get a detox, you had to sign yourself in under the Mental Health Act. Basically, and we started a meeting there. And Johnny came up to us, Johnny H, and he said, H&I meeting, hospitals and institutions meeting Wednesday night, you come. We didn't even know what hospitals and institutions was, but we had started the meeting. That gives you an idea of the early days of the day. And yeah, I did service in prisons and hospitals and institutions for over 20 years, and I'm back involved now. So all we did was basically keep on opening meetings, keep on showing up, keep on not using. I did a bit of PI, I got involved with PI, I did lots of talks and such like, and basically all I did was kept on going to meetings and carrying the message. That's all I've ever done. Basically, the fellowship grew and grew and grew. And basically, I just kept on showing up, continued to be involved, and watching NA grow and grow. And it was just such a wonderful experience to just watch this fellowship grow. It was like watching a flower grow, because it kept on growing and growing, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And at some points, I used to have to literally pinch myself to actually realize what I was watching was real, that Narcotics Anonymous was real, and that it was growing from one success to another. We started a convention, and it was held in my old school, which was Holland Park, and it was called the London Convention. And we used to get, in the old days, 3,000-4,000 people come to Holland Park School to celebrate. And that's a nice memory, and I remember that. And I remember all the people that I went to school with who aren't here anymore. They're all dead. Basically, for me, NA has been, there's no other word, awe-inspiring, I suppose, how it has spread throughout this world. I looked online the other day, and they said that there were 67,000 meetings worldwide. And, you know, the amazing thing about Narcotics Anonymous, for me, is we didn't even publish a book. The Blue Book wasn't published till 1983. Which I find quite incredible, how we survived as a fellowship without having a basic text. All I've done is stay involved. People told me, stay in the middle. If you stay in the middle, you won't fall off. And that's all I've done. I've stayed in the middle, and I'm not falling off. And I'm a very happy and satisfied customer. I still start meetings, and some of those meetings are very successful. I consistently see people I have sponsored get 20, and I saw someone last night get 31 years. And yeah, as my recovery goes on, we're all getting older. And unfortunately, the bad news about age, old Welsh saying, it says, old age doesn't come alone, it comes with illness. And I've watched many, many people die from AIDS since I've been clean. And today, the new killer for me is hepatitis C. So many people are dying from liver failure. And that really hurts and grieves me. I'm watching someone who's been in my life for over 30 years at the moment go through the last stage of his life. And he's going to die from cirrhosis of the liver, liver cancer, whatever you want to call it. And that really saddens me. If you're new around, I've said it already. Most important thing, you don't die. You can become old and grey like me. Second one, don't use. And the third one, just keep coming back. Oh, and someone mentioned my nickname. When I came around and I look at a picture here of me with my oldest son in my arms, I had sort of browny hair, but I had a grey streak. And I had that grey streak from when I was 16 years of age. I had that grey streak. They call it the Malin streak. And when I came to the fellowship, they told me, they said, you are the badger. And I said, all right, fine. And now I'm completely grey, and I'm still the badger. Thank you for allowing me to share with you. Thank you. Oh, let me say the last thing. Last thing, an old man, his name was Andre, he was one of my oldest sponsors. He used to end the meeting with this. When a man or woman walks into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, the heavens fall silent and God listens, because the dignity of a human being is about to be restored. Thank you.